and verse number 9. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. I encourage you to read along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud. Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9. And the Bible says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" Father, tonight we're thankful for a glimpse of the future. And Lord, though it is disheartening to some extent, it is frightful. God, we're so thankful that as believers, as the church, as the bride of Christ, that God, you have saved us from the wrath to come. And Lord, when we read about those that are going to experience that wrath, and Father, when we look around us in this current world and see those that, Father, are headed like freight trains to this destiny, Lord, I pray that our study tonight would encourage our hearts to be a warning and a witness to those around us. That, Father, the day of grace is short. Lord, the age of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and being assured of the rapture is upon us. And Lord, burden our hearts for those that are lost and without Christ. Challenge us, instruct us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It is truly a frightful thing to read these verses in Revelation chapter 6. When we read about those that are under the altar who have given their lives and been slain for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I say that there are people down through the ages that have had to do that. We live in relatively comfort and ease right now in the United States of America. We think we're persecuted, and surely there is an element of anti-Christian thought in our nation right now, but we don't know what persecution is about. Brother Lewis mentioned this morning reading the book The Hiding Place and Corrie Ten Boom and what went on in Nazi Germany when Hitler was determined to exterminate all the Jews, and all those that put themselves between the Jews and Hitler's regime were endangering their own lives. That's what persecution is. Persecution is not when the gas price goes up 60 cents a gallon. All right? Persecution is not sitting in a long line at a fast food restaurant. Now, yeah, there you go. They used to call them fast food restaurants. I don't think that's a proper title anymore. You wait too long for it to be fast food. But we in America, and we're being frivolous, I understand, but we don't know what real persecution is. But persecution's coming. And it's coming not only to Cambodia and to Russia and to communist countries and socialist countries. It's coming to America. It's coming to the whole world. And that's what we're reading about in Revelation chapter 6. We're reading about those in this time period, and we'll describe that in a minute, those in that time period that are going to have to put their lives on the line for the testimony of Jesus Christ and endure to the end, Matthew 24 says, to be saved. You ought to thank God that you're alive right now in the age of grace. Thank God that right now you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and by the time Revelation 6 gets here, you will have already checked out. And if you're fortunate, you'll have checked out not by the way of the undertaker, but by the way of the upper taker. That the Lord Himself should descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So comfort one another with these words. So as we're studying the book of Revelation again, we have looked and seen that I believe this is in consecutive order. I have no doubt it's in consecutive order. The church is in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Then the catching away of the church is in chapter 4. And it disappears from the commentary of the book of Revelation. It has been taken up. A door has opened. A trumpet has sounded. The church has risen up to be around their Lord and Savior. In chapter 4, there's the throne with the multitude around it. That's us. In chapter 5, the Lamb as a lion comes before the throne. The scene in chapter 4 and 5 is in heaven where the church is. But then in chapter 6, we began last week, the scene changes from up there in heaven, from the bliss, from the throne, from the praises, from the worship. And it changes back down here to earth. And we saw last week the four horsemen being released. We saw this seventh sealed book, and we used the example of the book we see up here, the five ridges that are visible, and then one at the top and one at the bottom that seals it. And the Lord takes one of those seals one at a time off that book, and as it does, judgment falls on the earth. This is, and again I maintain, this is shortly after the tribulation begins. Sometimes we get this idea, well, the first 3.5 years, it's going to be peace and safety. No, they're going to say peace and safety, but there is no peace or safety. There's not a 3.5 year moratorium where everything's fine until the middle of the tribulation. If we're correct in our understanding, in Revelation chapter 6, it starts right off the bat. And this white horse is released. And we saw last week that this white horse rider is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Comparing that white horse rider to the one in Revelation 19, they're two different people. This one in Revelation 6 is the Antichrist that comes down to try to bring peace to a world that's in turmoil at the time. And becomes a great world leader and convinces by propaganda. Remember, he's got a bow in his hand, but no arrows. He uses peace to try to convince the world everything's fine. Sure, millions of people who profess themselves to be followers of Christ have disappeared, but that's really not the story, and I'm not sure how he's going to tell it, but it's going to be something like this. No, we have just purged our world of the scourge that was upon us. We got rid of all those Bible-believing nuts. We got rid of all those moralists. Those that were against our world order. And those would not bow the knee and come into that. We've gotten rid of them and thereby will convince many, but some will not be convinced. Even at the very beginning of the tribulation, they will not be convinced. They're going to say, no, there's something more to this guy. He's not what he claims to be. And after that white horse rider comes out, then the right red horse rider. And again, I think it's the same rider. I think he switches horses. After his first strategy deceives multitudes, but not everybody, he comes out on that red horse and begins to slaughter those that do not accept his position. Now, all those are not just Christians. Those are anybody. You know, there's a lot of folks that are not Christian today that still have enough sense to know things that are wrong. Have you seen the Antifa group went, I forget, where was it they just did that? It was somewhere here in Portland, Oregon. The Antifa group went to confront a bunch of pro-Trump people out there, and the Antifa group, the big thugs, went over there to do something, and the Trump followers turned on them. Go get those thugs. Go get that Antifa group. And I'm not saying all those folks are saved, but there's just enough people that have old-fashioned values and old-fashioned morals that are not buying into this. And even in the tribulation, there are going to be unconverted, unsaved people that are going to lose their lives. What a terrible thing to lose your life already in the tribulation, think things are bad enough, and then die without Christ. And they will be slaughtered by the multitudes when that red horse comes. Then we saw the black horse rider, the third seal. And I hate to spend time going back over that, but we need to set the stage. The black horse rider, again, the Antichrist, peace didn't work, war didn't work, now famine comes. And now you can't get what you want without coming in there, and this is not the mark of the beast, it doesn't come for another 3 years. But that black horse rider came with a set of balances in their hand, a penny of oil for a weight of oil for a penny, and he begins to put this distribution. Following war is usually famine. And he puts the burden on the people that they're going to have to work a whole day's living just for enough food to feed themselves. You know, there's many parts in the world where that's normal fare anymore anyways. We're blessed here in America. It's not like that. We don't have to work all day just for enough food for one day to feed our family. But it's coming on this earth in the future. This is not something you hear any news commentator on any television channel talk about. They're all focused on what's going on right now because that's as far as their blinded eyes can see. And nobody's out there warning us about these things, warning the world that these things are going to come. And when they do happen, that white horse rider is going to convince them with a lie. And so after that red horse rider comes, the black horse rider, and then after that we saw the fourth seal, and that was the pale horse, and that was death. And hell followed after them. What a terrible thing to be alive during the tribulation period. Again, I don't know if I'm chuckled or bewildered. I'm not sure how to face it when many in the independent Baptist fundamental movement, quote unquote, are insisting that we are in the tribulation right now. Or that we are going to be in the tribulation for a period of time. Well, my reaction to that is, buddy, stay here as long as you want to. You endure, you do what you want to. I'm going to check out when the Lord comes back before this mess starts. I'm going up. You can stay here. Keep your family here. Do what you want to. But according to the timeline of Scripture, before these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your eyes. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now, I know I'm taking a second coming context there, but you understand what I'm seeing. So we've seen the four seals open. Tonight, we get to the fifth seal. This is the first seal that's open that doesn't have a horse rider. And that's because the Antichrist is not directly involved in what happens with the fifth seal. He has caused it to happen, but he's not directly involved with the opening of the fifth seal. The sixth seal will have no horse rider. Because it's not in his control, it's under God's control. I would say this also, there's no beast speaking. Remember the four beasts? The seal was open, the beast spoke, the seal. On the fifth, there is no beast speaking. And the sixth, there is no beast speaking. The context has been altered even a little bit so that the focus can be on the tragedy of what has taken place during the time of these first four horse riders and the beasts announcing their coming. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, he opened the fifth seal. We've seen the four seals before. Now he opens the fifth seal. And what happens? Persecution. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now again, following the context of the Bible, the church has already been removed. This is not talking about the church. This is talking about those that have given their lives for the name of Christ. It's hard for us to envision and hard for us to understand, but as I said, if you got saved today, if you were not converted, and you wanted to trust Christ as your Savior, it is so easy. It is so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I know folks say, well, no, there's something you got to... No, that's all you got to do. Believe. And you'll be... Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are converted. You're born again. You're saved. You're regenerated. There's so many terms that are included. Theological terms are included. And things that happen when somebody gets saved. I think there's over 100 things scripturally that happen to a person the moment they get saved. And can I say this? When they happen, they can't be reversed. You know, folks say, well, do you believe in once saved, always saved? No, I believe in eternal security. I believe that when I got saved, the God that saved me is capable of keeping me. And though I do not live a perfect life or a sinless life, I do not take God's grace as a license to sin. But at the same time, I realize that when He adopted me into His family, He promised never to kick me out. What an unjust God it would be to adopt us into His family and say, now your adoption is based on your conduct. As long as you do what I say. Have you ever had a child that always did what you said? As long as you do what I say and obey everything, cross every T and dot every, then I'll keep you in the family. But if you don't, you're going out. That's not a very fair and just God. That's not the God of the Bible. But in the tribulation period, after the church is taken out and the Holy Ghost is no longer an influence down here on the earth, things are different. You can profess Christ, you can claim Christ, you can name Christ. But once the opposition comes, you've got to endure to the end. That's that phrase from Matthew chapter 24 or 25. You've got to endure to the end. You've got to be faithful to death. I'm glad I'm saved when I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved before these things start to happen in the tribulation period. And these fellows that say, well, how do you... I watched the video. I told you the guy was teaching how to witness in the tribulation. Because we might be here for it. No. No. You be a witness now and tell people to avoid the tribulation. You tell them to get saved so they can get out of it. He opened the fifth seal. And the Bible says in verse number 9, "And I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God." Did you know you can see souls? I don't know, that big movie that was out here a few years, "I see dead people." Well, you've got problems. But did you know once you get into heaven, you'll be able to recognize other people? You'll see souls. That's what the Bible just said to you. You say, "Well, soul's invisible." No, it's not. It's just encompassed within your body right now. But your soul is exactly like your body. And we don't have time to get into all this stuff, but Colossians tells us that when you got saved, you had a circumcision not made with hands. Your soul got separated from your body. Your flesh and your soul are no longer one. But an unsaved person who has never trusted Christ has never had that circumcision not made with hands, and their soul and their body are one, so the flesh dictates to them what they do. But you and I that have been saved have had that soul set free. You know why some professing Christians are never able to conquer sin? Because their soul and their body have never been divided. The Bible tells us when we get saved, just like the Old Testament law of circumcision, when we get saved, God cuts away our soul from our body, so that when our body dies, our soul goes to be with God that made it. But when an unsaved person dies, that soul's glued to the body, and it descends into hell forever and ever. But the Bible says here, "I saw the souls." They have a bodily shape. It says in verse 11 that white robes are given to them. White robes can't hang on nothing. They can't hang on I know you've seen Casper, so yeah, a white sheet can hang on anything. White sheets can't hang on inanimate objects, so you and I, our souls in heaven, will be visible things. We will see one another and be recognizable. "I saw the souls of them that were slain." These are the tribulation saints. These are those that during the four horse riders are martyred for the cause of Christ and for the name. In fact, the Bible says they were martyred here in verse 9 for the word of God. Can I tell you this? After the church is gone and after the Holy Spirit has ascended back into heaven and after the presence of God the way it is right now, I mean, God is always everywhere, so I understand. But after the presence of God is removed, you know what's still here? The Word of God. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God will still be down here. You know what we need to do? Print as many Bibles as we can, as many places as we can, and leave them everywhere we can, because after we're gone, those Bibles are still going to be here. And the Bible says that these people in that time period are going to be martyred for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. The Word of God is going to be as much despised, or probably more despised in the tribulation than it is right now. The Word of God is hated by the world right now. They do not appreciate the Word of God. They don't like the Ten. How could you not like the Ten Commandments? "Thou shalt not kill." What problem do you... Oh, well, you're an abortionist. Okay, I got you. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Oh, all right, gotcha. You're more. I guess there is a reason they don't like the Ten Commandments. And they've removed them. They've taken it out. They don't like the Word of God and the testimony which they held. They lived in such a way that the world hated them. Not just hating the Word of God, but hating them because they live different from everybody else. That's what is meant again from Matthew chapter 24. "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." These are going to give their lives as a sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Verse 10. "And they cried," these martyrs in verse 9, "they cried with a loud voice saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Can you understand that this prayer is not a prayer of the church? You and I are told not to seek vengeance in this age in which we live. We're told not to ask for God's... We're not to go to David's precatory psalms. Those are the psalms back there where David is asking for the same thing here. Asking for God's judgment and vengeance upon him. And you and I are not to pray those prayers. But these tribulation saints are given full permission to do so. Those that have been slain and martyred and sacrificed for Christ are allowed to say, "Lord, how long till thou judge and avenge our blood upon those that are upon the earth?" That's why in Revelation 18 and 19, and I preached on that a couple weeks ago, kind of out of the context, we saw that when these things happen, when Babylon is destroyed, these very people are shouting, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praising God because this finally comes to pass. So we see the prayer of the tribulation saints is not a church age prayer. They're asking God to be judge, jury, and executioner. And their prayer is answered, beginning in verse 12. Their prayer is answered by the opening of the sixth seal. Verse 11 says, white robes were given unto every one of them. And the Bible says in verse 11 that vengeance will not happen, that they should rest a little while for a little season, until their fellow servants also shall be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now again, I told you last week, there's two different ways of interpreting the book of Revelation, and I'm not going to argue with the wrong one. And I don't mean to say it the wrong one, but the other one. And that is that Revelation gives us four accounts of the same thing. That like we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so the seals and then the trumpets and then 10 to 14 in Revelation and then the vials after it. Some believe that those are four things of the same account. And obviously when you read the last few verses, you would think this is the very end of the tribulation. This is the very end. But notice these martyrs are told this is not the end. You're resting for a little season. There's still a lot more to come. You're going to rest for a little season because there's many more that are going to come to join you in like fact. Folks, as bad as these things are, especially when we get to verse 14 down to verse number 7, as bad as that is, that's not the end. That's the beginning of sorrows. Now that's beyond my comprehension. When I read verse, and we're going to get there, verse 14 to 17, I think, how can this not be the end? But it's not the end. It's not even the middle of that 7-year tribulation period. You know, folks can endure. We can endure some pretty tough things sometimes when we know there's an end to it. You know, if you'll hang on for a week, everything will be okay. Okay, I can hang on for a few more hours. When you know there's an end in sight, even when it was 6 weeks, and that was pushing it out there quite a bit. But when you know there's an end in sight, you can focus on it. But this is happening at the very beginning, and there's no escaping this. There's no getting out from it. And the Lord says to them in verse 11, there's more to come. There's going to be more. Killed. Notice it says at the end of verse 11, killed as they were. You know how the others are killed? Look at chapter 20, verse 14. Here's how detailed the scripture gets. It even tells us how these people are killed. Chapter 20 and verse 14. Let me find here. 20 verse 4. Chapter 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them, here they are, that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. You know what you see those Muslims, extremists, if you want to call them extremists, you know what you see those jihadists doing? You see the film clips on YouTube where they've got the Christians with hoods over their head and they're standing behind them with the machetes. Can I tell you that's just a glimpse of what's to come? That's going to be the method of the Antichrist during the tribulation? Whether it's by guillotine or whether it's by machete with their hoods, whatever it is, these martyrs are going to be killed in that manner because of the Word of God and their testimony for Jesus Christ. No wonder they say, how long, O Lord, true and just? How long are you going to wait to bring this judgment? And the Lord says, hang on. God's judgment will come. You know, sometimes we think God is lax. Lord, why don't you do something? Why don't you right this situation? Why don't you justify me in the sight of unbelievers? Why don't you do something? The Lord says, just hang on. Just wait a little bit longer. I'm going to take care of it. And here even those that are under the altar in heaven, looking down upon the inhabitants of the earth, living it up. Again, read Revelation chapter 18 in Babylon and the lascivious lifestyle that they're living. And these martyrs look down and say, Lord, how can you let them live like that and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season while we're here like this? And the Lord says, just hang on. I'll get them. They got you, but I'll get them. Then notice verse 12. The opening of the sixth seal begins a catastrophe of events that affects the affairs of men. While man is rejoicing in his elimination, the troublemakers, the believers were taken out. They're getting rid of the remnant of them, and those that are continuing to believe even after the church has been taken out, they're eliminating them. They think things are fine, but there's someone they're going to deal with that they have no control over. And that's the Lord God of heaven. And when that sixth seal is opened in verse number 12, lo, there was a great earthquake. I'll tell you this, this is the first of three great earthquakes in the book of Revelation. And again, some think this is a repeat of the three, and I'm not going to go there, but I'm just going to say this, This is the first of three great earthquakes. The world has not seen a great earthquake yet. The ones that have happened have been devastating many times. I understand that. Multitudes of people have perished from earthquakes over the times of history. And it seems like it's getting worse and worse. And you hear rumors of earthquakes and all that. I remember a fellow once at Hope Baptist in Toledo. One of the men took me back into the sound room and he had this screen up there. And he was a follower of earthquakes. I don't know what you call those people. Nuts maybe, but I don't know. Followers of earthquakes, and he had on his screen, he said, he had every earthquake that was happening within the past 3 months or 4 months like that, of any size, and they were all over the map. Ones that were too slight to be detected or to be reported or noticed, but everything, and bigger ones, and they were all over that map. We're coming to a time where this earth itself is going to be shaken by the Lord God of heaven. What are you going to do about that? We talked about it last week. If you watched a couple of weeks ago, the lava flow out there in Hawaii as the volcano erupted and it came down into the cities and streets and moved also slow. You can outwalk it. You could outrun it, but you couldn't stop it. And it would go through houses and over cars and just dissolve them right in its sight. And everybody's just standing back hoping it will stop, waiting for it to stop. Where is it going to stop at? There's nothing. With all of our technology and ingenuity and everything we can do, put a man on the moon, circle Mars, whatever, we can't stop lava from a volcano. We're not going to stop these earthquakes. And God's going to send a great one in verse number 12. And when he does, the sun became black. As, always circle those words as, because that means not that, but as sackcloth of hair. It became black as a sackcloth of hair. You know what sackcloth is? That's what they used in the Old Testament when they mourned before God. They covered themselves in sackcloth and ashes. And God's going to make even the sun to be like sackcloth. The sun shall become black as sackcloth. There's going to be a change in astronomy. Those that worship the stars, those that follow the stars, those prognosticators and astrologists and all these people and all, you know, that whole crowd and if you're a Libra or a Gemini and all, it's all going to get blown out of the water right then. Because the sun's going to become black as sackcloth of hair and the moon will become as blood. This is a fulfillment of what was recorded in the book of Joel. Joel the prophet had said this was going to happen. Peter quoted it on the day of Pentecost because there was a partial fulfillment on the day of Pentecost of this, but the full fulfillment is going to happen in the tribulation period. And these things are going to happen. The sixth seal begins with a convulsion on earth, the earthquake, and then continues with cosmic disturbances. The sun becomes black as hair. The moon becomes as blood. The sun will be black, the moon will be red. The changes in those two things are going to wreak havoc on the earth. We depend on the sun, we depend on its light, we depend on its ultraviolet rays, we depend on the moon, the tides are all guided by the moon. And when these things change color, it's going to wreak havoc down here on the earth. And man is going to have absolutely nothing he can do about it. Verse 13 says, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth. I enjoy reading commentaries. Sometimes they're better than comic strips. And some of the commentators say, well, the stars are going to fall from heaven. That's talking about the Hollywood stars and the sports stars. No, get your eyes off of man. Put them on. I know I'm going to get sidetracked here. When I wrote this down, This world is nuts. This world is just nuts. Have you seen the protests that are going on, the anti President post-Trump because of the immigration laws, and I know that's a volatile subject, but the separation of families in Mexico, all that kind of stuff, and I'm not getting into that argument. But did you notice that all across the country, they're having marches against the separation of families? And did you know that 9 days ago, the president signed an order stopping it? So 9 days later, see, you know what happens in the world? They plan something, the whole scene changes, and they can't keep up. And they're still protesting something that's irrelevant right now. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even have anything to do with anything. That's the world system that we live in. It's nuts. Talking about the stars, and this was what I was coming to. I read, and I don't know these people, but some young, I want to say girl, I'm not sure what to say. Some young girl who is apparently a Hollywood starlet and has her own TV show had gender confirmation surgery. And I read that thing, and I thought, gender confirmation surgery. And I know there's some young people in here, so I'm going to be careful in what I say. But I can save you a whole lot of money. You want gender confirmation surgery? I won't even have to cut you. You come, I don't want to say in a back room with me, but you come back there and I can tell you within a few seconds whether you're male or female. You don't have to have gender confirmation surgery. So I read the article thinking, what in the world is that? And it was a person that was born a boy, and the birth certificate says a boy, and until they were 5 years old, they were boy, then decided they wanted to be a girl. And so at five, they started dressing like a girl. Now they're 18, 19, 20, I don't know what the age is, and they're having gender change surgery. Not gender confirmation. See, the world words things in such a way to deceive the simple. And to fool those that are not discerning. And that's again, and I'm getting off track here. Preachers do that all the time. That's why I'm not for watching the news on television. Because on television, they give you 45 seconds of what they want you to hear, and then they move on to the next story, and you've sucked it in and don't even get time to think about it. But when you read it, at least when you read it, you got time to go at your own pace and say, now wait a minute, gender confirmation surgery. You don't need surgery to confirm what gender you are. If you can't figure it out, the doctors can easily tell you. But the wording of things in our day is to lead those astray. All right, I said that to say this. In verse number 13, though there are some stars in Hollywood and in sports that definitely have fallen, that's not what verse 13 is. You know what the stars of heaven fall means? It means the stars of heaven fall. You say, what do you mean? Well, when it gets dark out, you walk outside and look up there and see the stars. And know that one of these days, the stars of heaven are going to fall. You say, where are they going to fall? Well, they're not going to necessarily hit planet Earth. But all of astronomy, the Earth is going to be shaken by an earthquake. The moon and the sun are all going to change their colors and affect the Earth. The stars are going to all be shooting stars. Right now we go outside and if we see one, oh, look at that, isn't that wonderful? It isn't going to be then. Because they're all going to be doing that, and you don't know where they're going. The stars of heaven fell to the earth. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Everything in the atmosphere, everything on the earth, everything in heaven is going to be changed. And the folks that are here are going to live through it. Brother Bill, sitting out there, told me he went up to Pike's Peak out in Colorado. And he got up there and he drove up there, sissy. I'm just saying that because I'd do the same thing. He drove up to the top. He drove up to the top and got out of his car and went into the emergency station or went into the place and went on oxygen for quite a few minutes. Because up at Pike's Peak where the air is so thin and so different, it affects you. You've got to get used to that. Again, sports teams that go play at Mile High Stadium have to go a few days early and get adapted to the atmosphere. Well, imagine when God changes the atmosphere of the whole earth. You wouldn't want to be on Pike's Peak then. Because it'll be Pike's Peak in Cambridge, Ohio. It'll be the changing of the atmosphere and the breathing and everything and the humidity. Everything around us is going to be affected by God's judgment on the earth at the beginning of the tribulation. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men. Verse 12 to 14 told us what is affected. The heavens, the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth by the earthquake. The atmosphere. Verse 15 to 17 tell us who is affected. The kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men. Can I just say this? It doesn't matter who you are at that day. The Lord's no respecter of persons. And whoever is the president of the United States at that time when this happens, and if he hasn't been removed by the rapture, and of course they'll elect the next one, whatever it is, but whoever it is at the time, the Lord's not going to give any respect to the president of the United States. No respect to the dictator of some nation. No respect to the king or the queen of England. God doesn't care. And when that judgment falls, it falls on everybody. A lot of Christians today thinking, oh, we want the judgment of God to fall on America because of abortion and because of this, homosexuality. And I understand all that, but you understand if the judgment of God falls on America, you live in America. And God doesn't put a protective shield over your head so that you don't have to be judged. I don't want America to be judged because I don't want to be judged and I don't want my kids to be judged. I don't want to live in a land that's judged. I'd rather have us hang on as long as we can. Honor God and fear God as long as we can. And get out of here before these things happen. But when they do happen, neither rank nor wealth will protect them from that day. It says, every bondman and every free man hid themselves, notice, in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Verse 16, and they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. And hide us from the face of them that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. In that day they will seek death, the Bible says, and not be able to find it. When the judgment of God begins, they're going to want to get away from it, and they can't get away from it. They've made their bed. They've sown their seed. They've rejected Christ. They've said no to God. And now the judgment comes. They call upon the mountains and the rocks to hide them instead of calling upon the Lord to save them. Isn't that amazing? When this happens, the Bible says, and they say to the mountains and the rocks, why didn't it say, and they say to the Lord, Lord, forgive us. Lord, we repent. Lord, save us. No, when the judgment comes, they harden their hearts even more. And they say to the rocks, as if the rocks can hear, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They know who's behind this. They know where this judgment's coming from. It's coming from him that sitteth on the throne. It's coming from the Lamb. But instead of crying out to him, they're crying for the rocks and stones to fall upon him. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Again, I understand why those would put this at the very end of the tribulation, but I don't think it is. I think this great day of wrath is more than a 24-hour period. The day of His wrath has come. It's going to come from this point until the end of it in Revelation 19. This is not the end. This is just the beginning. We're only finishing chapter 6. We've got 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 before this thing is over. The majority of the pages and the chapters of the book of Revelation is about the tribulation period. God has given every warning He could possibly give. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and eyes closed.